Hi, you found the Bomb Podcast. For streaming videos, web-exclusive interviews, and more, check out bombsite.com. Today's podcast features John Waters in conversation with Richard Goldstein. It was recorded live on November 17th, 2011, at the Museum of Modern Art.
I brought role models and the interviews book, okay. And it seems like the perfect kind of Christmas
package. It's a good double feature, yeah, definitely a good double
because
feature.
Because we have like, you know,
the old me and the new me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're both kind of like on both sides of the interview, even though you may not interview people.
Well, I ask people questions in there,
right,
certainly.
Right,
right. Yeah. I'm nosy. I'm going around asking other people. It's my role models. It's very little about my career,
because
I already wrote Shock Lady, which was kind of about the beginning of it. So this one, yes, it's about people that have made me feel that I could do what I wanted to do. It wasn't so much about me,
mm-hmm.
And even though it's a memoir.
Which side do you like being on the best?
Thank you so much. This isn't a handkerchief. This is old toilet paper.
Okay,
that looks so. That'll be glamorous on the stage, right? Right. I have that in my pocket. Okay, some old ripped, torn paper. Not even torn off properly. Like, why don't you bring me a corn cob? Okay, so, which do I like better? Much better, me asking the questions.
Mm.
Because then I can find my subject, you know what I mean? When I'm writing about myself, I know the subject, I know what it's about, mm-hmm. I know the answers if I have to write about myself.
Yeah. And how does it feel like looking back on all the interviews?
You know, I couldn't read all of them straight through. It's like listening to your director's commentaries. It's two things that I have trouble listening to. I'm glad they're there, and I forgot some of them. I looked through, I thought, I forgot I even did that interview. But like Dennis Cooper, you know, there's like a lot of great people in there, Todd Solondz and everything. So I'm really flattered that they all did the interviews, and James, I think, found the right ones that show every different part of my life. But to read them straight through, I have tried. But I think it will be easier for anybody else in the world to do that but me.
Mm-hmm. And are you surprised by any things that you said back
well,
then?
Well, you know, that's one thing. What you say, your words can you live with for the rest of your life. I mean, not as much as poor Leslie Van Houten, who I read of role models who said sorry is a five-letter word that can change nothing. Talk about something that's hard to get over, and she regrets very much saying that. The one they always throw up to me is like bad taste is what entertainment is all about. I don't know if I said that in an interview, but I wrote it in Shock Value, so mm-hmm. people always say that. Or if people vomit in one of my films, it's like a standing ovation. To me, I said that as a joke even then, but it's an old joke.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone will vomit tonight. And if they do, it will be because they're drunk or on heroin, not because of the subject matter.
And,
but we could have nurses walking up and down the thing in case someone had a heart attack or something.
So what?
Or sawdust in the aisles. That's how you clean up puke.
So what surprises you? Is it
just
the audience
bad
puking?
Things surprise me. In real life, bad things surprise me. Like stupid people and the reality shows that I refuse to know who they are, the people. But that's not good surprise. You know, what surprises me is always delights me in somebody's wit or their cleverness but surprise, unfortunately, to me these days, for me, is usually in a negative way. But I still try to surprise people in a positive, joyous way and be their guide in a world that they might feel uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm. And just thinking about the reality TV, though, I mean, that's kind of like a focus of a lot of thinking about TV. And I mean, even in James, in your interview, you talk about it, but it seems like there's also kind of a going back to a retro TV, like with maybe Dancing with the Stars, or like it reminds me of Corny Collins.
Well, Dancing with the Stars, I said to Ricky, I was on it last night. You know, I mean, Ricky is this Hairspray too. She was Miss Auto Show and Hairspray, and now she's going to maybe be Miss Dancing with the Stars. I hope so.
Her hair's under control.
Yeah. But I watch it, and I vote for her, and I've been on it. And that is more like, I think that's more like Queen for a Day, mm-hmm. or maybe They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
or
that'd be fun.
You know, if they just kept having to dance all night for three weeks, like Warhol's version, where they had to just keep dancing and never stop till they dropped. Right. That would be kind of my version of it. Mm. Like Ruth Etting, 10 cents a dance. That's what they pay me. God knows they weigh me down.
Yeah.
I told Ricky, and I told Ricky, I wrote it yesterday, that even Divine says in tour, like, she could be one of the June Taylor dancers, which no one remembers who they are, but they were on television. So, and I wrote, she now could be one of the June Taylor dancers again.
What was the June Taylor?
They were like on Ed Sullivan, on different shows. They were like showgirls. They were like, did modern dance and ballroom dancing and stuff.
Okay. Cool. And
they are forgotten today, but anyone except my age and up, polar otters might remember them.
I remember Queen for a Day, though. That kind of lives on.
Queen for a Day. Well, I think they revived that, too. But it was really pitiful. They won, like, a refrigerator because they didn't have one. Right. They would sob. And then I read an article in Fact Magazine, that was the first magazine that ever published me, that said that women got their period on that show always, which for the contestants, which I don't know why that stuck with me forever.
Well.
And it was an issue on the show.
You brought up talk therapy also with James. And
yeah, I believe in that. Well, my movies, nobody ever shuts up.
Right.
Screaming at the top of their lungs. Now they make mumblecore. We've made rumblecore, where they were screaming at the top of their lungs for pages of dialogue without a cut.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there's too much dialogue.
So, I mean, it just, that kind of builds up to this, like, a kind of, like, deranged honesty, kind of this feeling.
It's a nice thing to say, deranged honesty.
It's real. It's, like, honest kind of spinning out of control thing.
Well, the threatening to go out of control is something that has always interested me, yes.
Talk really is a really important part of your film. And you must also be you're a good listener, though, too. I mean,
I hope so.
'Cause you were hanging out with Divine.
I think my assistants might not say that.
Divine and Edith, and I'm sure they were kept your ears ringing, right?
Well, Divine and Edith were, I mean, I think Edith could drive Divine crazy because Edith had such a hard time memorizing her lines, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, I think Divine kind of agreed. The first time Andy Warhol met Edith, he said to me, "Where'd you find her?" And I think Divine kind of felt the same.
Mm-hmm. How did you kind of keep all the energy of all the different personalities kind of in reality?
We were just like a theater group or something, you know. We were just kind of like an insane acting troupe that hung out together, or carnies, or a freak show that was just fun. It was like a political action almost. It was almost like in the days of radical politics, so it felt kind of like an action. We were a cell.
Radical cell. You bring up with James about Bohemia, kind of like there kind of isn't, it's kind of a lost place now, like it's just kind of an idea, Bohemia.
Well,
do you think there is?
It's kind of lost in a way, although I guess Occupation New York, in a way, is that's more hippie-ish though. I mean, that's more back to Berkeley and to the yippies and the stuff that I was very much involved in when I was young. But coming here tonight, this girl came up and said to me, "I love Come to Garçon too, but I can't wear it when I'm occupying." I thought that was so great.
Yeah. It just seems like, I watch on the news and it seems like it could be a scene from
Mortonville.
Right.
It looks like Mortonville. And in Baltimore, they set it up like Mortonville. The gay kids set up Mortonville in Occupation Baltimore.
Can you tell me how you met Cookie? Because she was a long-time contributor to the magazine.
And she was a really good writer. And
right.
I wish
we
Cookie had started writing
stories
earlier. She was a much better writer than she was an actress. And I think she'd be the first to admit that. We met her. This sounds like a made-up Dreamland studio press release, but it really is true that she was released from a mental institution in California and came back to Baltimore and came to the premiere of Mondo Trash Show and won the door prize, which was dinner for two at the Little Tavern, which was the worst hamburger joint in town. And we picked her up in a limousine and took her there. And Steve Yeager made a film of it that's lost, where he, the one that made Divine Trash. And so that's how we met her. She won the door prize at the world premiere of Mondo Trash Show in a church.
Wow.
It sounds made up, but it really is true. And didn't even ask permission, right? Just walked in the little tavern, you know,
okay.
Just startled. You know, even when Divine works in the little tavern in Female Trouble, we didn't ask permission, we just went in there and filmed it. I said, can he go behind the
just
counter in the outfit?
Right.
And they said yes, which they would never do today. You got what you need?
Yeah, well, thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Thank you. That's right, okay. Cookie did write for Baum, and she wrote for Details, I think.
Well, I've never in my life met anybody at all like you.
You just listened to a Baum podcast. John Waters in conversation with Richard Goldstein. Recorded live on November 17th, 2011, at the Museum of Modern Art. Check out other Baum podcasts at baumsite.com.